All right, good morning, everyone. You know, I like different perspectives. There was a movie one time, it was a drama, and it took place in a jury room. And there was no action, it was called 12 Angry Men. And they were talking about a court case. That was one of the most edge of the seat movies I ever seen. Because they found out when they kept dialoguing what happened. And you could see what, you know, you could picture what they were talking about. And I generally don't like dramas, but I love that movie. I watched it several times. And that's what it's like when people get a perspective of the Lord. It you get a full picture when different people are studying it. Because I believe with all my heart he got knocked off a horse.
We've heard it for years, bro. Horse.
Yeah.
I'd have asked Paul, what kind of horse was he on? You know, I love it. I just love it. Let's see. Now, last week we made it to 22, verse 18. We stopped at verse 18.
Chapter
22,
verse 18.
Yeah. Verse 17 says, and it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, when I was, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I am in prison and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of that martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said to me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. When the Lord told him what to do, this was, he's talking about when he first got saved. And the Lord, he knew that they wouldn't receive him, and he told him where to go. He ended up in Arabia, where he learned, according to Galatians 1.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important to follow the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. If you don't, you can end up in a lot of trouble. Or dead. Because they wanted to kill him. Mm-hmm. And they didn't believe his testimony yet. And the Lord told him what to do. He said, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience unto this word. And then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And as they cried,
they were still not accepting his testimony.
No, they wanted to kill him. You know, when you know, Paul had some of their people arrested, cousins, friends, relatives, some killed. Mm-hmm. They, you know, we want to kill this guy. You know, this is Bin Laden. To them, that was just like a Bin Laden.
Mm-hmm. I just have a question. I just wonder, how can he be so dangerous and, you know, on foot, you know, with his followers? How could they, you know, just kill people and just...
On foot.
It's just a group of them, and yeah, they just attack a whole town.
What?
They got consent to do it. I mean, they, uh-huh, they had it passed down from the high office that they could do that.
Yeah.
Their culture operated that way, mm-hmm, in that time. You know, if you got, it's just like the policemen, they had it on the news this morning, they just pushed the door down, and the people regularly telling them, we're not the one, show us your papers that, you know, and they said, no, they just pushed the door down and just, you know, went on in and just, you know, after that, the police had to apologize to the people because they were in the wrong house.
Yeah. That's bad.
Sometimes they don't have a search warrant. And
they're supposed to have had a warrant.
Yeah.
And they asked them, you know, do you have a search warrant? They said, yo, we got it. They said, well, show it to us. No, we're not showing you anything. They just pushed the door down. Mm-hmm. And then they realized, hey, we're in the wrong apartment, too. We're in the wrong one, you know. And that family was very angry, and they told, and what made them so angry, they held the gun up to a 12-year-old son, to a little girl, to the mom, a gun. Why would you hold a gun up to a 12-year-old child?
That's messed up.
And
that's messed up, right?
They're trying to justify what they did. It's
where was
come
this
back and fix your dough.
Where was this?
What was it? Was it in Chicago, I believe? Mm. I'm thinking it might have been in Chicago. But this man said, it makes you scared of writing up the police. We regularly tell them, you at the wrong door. Why couldn't you check, or why couldn't you let them see the warrant, or why did you just push down their door? And they said that wasn't the bad part about it. They said the bad part about it, when you held a gun to a 12-year-old, and then to their little daughter, pulled out the gun and held it up to their head. Mm-hmm. Held it up to all the family members' head. Mm-hmm. And then they said, oh, we're in the wrong apartment.
That's terrible. That's terrible.
So they did come back and fix the door after they went down, after that family went down there and just had a fit.
Mm-hmm.
The family gave it to the news.
They need to pay them $1 million.
They do. They really
do. They really do.
Those little kids going to live with that gun. I put it up to their head.
You know what's going to stop that kind of stuff? When the insurance companies stop paying for these claims. That's what's going to stop.
There you go.
Once the insurance companies stop paying the claims that these people are making, then the police departments are going to straighten up their act. Mm-hmm. But as long as the cities are not having to pay for it, and the insurance companies are paying for it, it's going to keep happening. Mm-hmm. It's the insurance company's fault for allowing this to happen. Once they stop paying the claims, and the cities have to fork it over, or the cops themselves have to fork it over, mm-hmm. they're going to change. Mm-hmm. That's what we need. Mm-hmm. We need change. Yep. We need change. This mm-hmm. is not right. Mm-hmm. This kind of stuff is just not right.
Yeah. But why would you put a gun up to a little girl's head? 3 years old, I think they said.
Well, for
that's wrong. That's wrong.
And then 12-year-old boy.
Yeah.
And then to them, why would you stick a gun in their head? That man, the dad was just angry.
Well, it's a wonder they didn't shoot him. It's a wonder they didn't shoot the dad because he was angry.
But he didn't show no anger there when they, you know, he was angry when they left. He was trying to act like, you know, you're supposed to act when they arrest you, you know, not, you know.
Uh-huh. Don't get me started on that now.
I mean, that was
bad.
They had that, but they feel like they had the authority to do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so
well, that's exactly
say,
right. That's exactly
that's
how we go.
You know, like it was given an order to destroy. To, I guess, maybe terrorize or destroy this house, then they went, you know, and did that.
Yeah.
But well, the apartment next door must have done something real bad.
The guy was downstairs, and they got him.
Yeah.
And they say he'll be out of jail next week.
Mm.
And their family went through all that, but they're going to let this man out of jail next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not good. Well, they had authority, you know. Even though they may not have had an army, they would have gotten one wherever they went if they had that kind of authority. Mm-hmm. The law would be on their side about it.
The law was on their side. The law said,
"Yeah,
oh well."
They did have the law on their side, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of people that didn't believe, like Paul did. And well, that's what the Lord had me sharing this morning. The mindset of the world is at war with the mindset of Christ, of the Word. And every time you learn something, that there are also thoughts at war with it, just like fear. Fear is at war with your future because it will drive you into a bad situation. Unbelief is at war with you learning. It causes you to reject what God has to say. Whereas doubt causes you not to believe God's word, you know. So doubt is at war with your faith. Your faith is at war with your doubt. Jesus said, "If you believe and shall not doubt," now that shall not means you rejected that. You will not, by choice, doubt. Mm-hmm. You will not doubt mm-hmm. by choice. So now people don't know these things. They just believe the way they do. But what they happen to believe is at war with the life of God. So when somebody come with the truth, backed by God, and they don't understand it, they fight it. because satanic principles are at war with godly principles, just like godly principles are at war with satanic principles. And as we learn from the Lord, you know, sometimes it takes a while for it to register. Mm-hmm. He showed me something and it makes sense. And I'm trying to grab it, Carl, and get a good hold on it. I said, now I got to sort some things out. And things that's opposite, it's got to go. That's where Charles Capps come in. I use confessions. That's one of my best tools. You know, I deal with tools all the time. One of my best tools and weapons is confessions. You have to speak how you want to believe.
Whoa, say it again.
You have to speak how you want to believe. How
okay,
you,
say it again.
However, you got to speak how you want it to be. You got to speak it. When, you know, I don't just say, well, I ain't going to doubt. I say, I hate doubt. I rebuke doubt. Doubt has no place in my being. It has no place in my heart. Amen. You have to speak it. I will not fear. You know, whatever it is. One of my favorite confessions, this is my shotgun. Everything that ain't like God got to go.
Amen.
Everything, whether I like it, love it, hate it, it's got to go. And so, and that goes for everything. Music, songs, whatever I see, whatever. If it's ungodly, it's got to go. And you may not always feel like letting something go. But if you keep saying that by faith, you won't have a taste for it.
Amen.
I changed the way I eat. I said, I crave what I desire the most. And some things I just don't want anymore.
It's starting to mellow now, Thurston.
Yeah, but if you have to say it, and things that ain't that you like, you may crave it now, but if you keep saying that I don't want that right now. You just don't want it. Easiest way to lose weight: change your diet. Whatever you want to do, speak it. It works. Your faith is a definer. It changed the facts in your situation. It, like Brother Horton said, it changed the facts on the ground where you are.
So you're saying your confession build your world.
Your confession build your world.
Okay.
Now that's not a worldly principle. So the world system say, well, I'm supposed to just deal with life as it comes. No. I told the kid, I said, y'all in college, speak the job you want. Speak what you want. Speak mm-hmm. it now while you're mm-hmm. still in school. Don't wait. I said, you got to drive your life. If you don't, it's not going to work. Happenstance won't work.
Amen.
And then you're under attack.
Just won't happen.
Yeah. And Satan's trying to stop whatever you're doing. You got to put life in your, you got to put air in yourselves. You got to speak life to what you want to do. And then walk in the open doors God opens for you.
Mm.
And it won't always look right. So God's best don't always look like something you may choose. Mm-hmm. But if you keep speaking it, you'll end up where you want to be. And it's easier for him to guide you that way. Otherwise, it's very difficult because the old thoughts that we didn't know how to deal with is still at war with the new thoughts. And Jesus put it this way: don't put new wine in the old wineskins.
Mm-hmm. You know what Pastor has been teaching about lately, as far as related to what you're saying? These people's faith made them whole.
Yeah.
The lady kept saying to herself, I just touched the hem of his garment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just amazing how our words,
mm-hmm.
The words that come out of our mouth, you know,
yeah,
just amazing power. And it can be a dangerous weapon, too.
It is.
And, I just hope to continue to be a light and to mm-hmm. show everyone that meet me that, mm-hmm. that words matter.
Yeah, it's what you speak. One time I was preaching back in the 80s, I said, you already have what you say. Because I was teaching the faith message out of Holiness Church, which don't work too good.
They will not receive your testimony,
oh,
huh?
I was like Paul in Acts. You know, I said, think about it. You already have what you say. And I didn't know, even then, I didn't know you have to drive your life. You have to. The world makes you dependent. The mindset of the world, everything about the world makes you dependent. Lust mm-hmm. makes you dependent mm-hmm. on
that's
other people.
Preaching right there, brother.
Love makes you, puts you in control. And you can choose to love everybody. But lust makes you a dependent, and it drives your life through fear. So when you speak things, when you speak that you, uh, the, the life of God. That's your new course. And then you speak the darkness out of it. And sometimes your will don't match the word of God, because your will has been shaped by the world.
A question. The resistance that we get when we start speaking life and we come into opposition, is that always of God, or is that always of the devil, or?
Sometimes it's just people they don't know how to make the adjustment, or they don't, it's ultimately Satan's fault. But let's say a man gets saved and he used to drink, all right? He's a new man, but he got the same stomach. He's got the same cravings. Now, if when he gets saved and he has no taste for wine, that was a miracle. But if the miracle don't happen, he has to work on it. He has to destroy the cravings himself. He got to believe God to get rid of the cravings of wine. And I just found out an easy way to do it. Speak it. If you can say you hate it by your faith, nothing in the world trumps faith, especially your faith, what you speak with your mouth. And you will change your course every time. You can have 100% success because we're in the kingdom. We're in the Father's house. We're in the kingdom of God. We're in a new kingdom. But you have to operate the kingdom according to kingdom principles. You speak the life of God, you change your destiny. You know, I used to eat a pizza every Friday night. I used to crave it. And I started saying, well, I don't really know much about nutrition. I know you need to eat more stuff that you got to pluck than stuff you got to fry. So I added more fruit to my diet, more vegetables. And then I said, well, I thought about it one long time ago. I said, well, why not just speak that you crave what you need the most? That way your body would naturally crave the foods you really need to be eating, and it'll change a lot of problems. And I can say this, it works. You know, I started eating baked chicken.
I got Donald's pizza in my speed dial, man.
I like
it. I'm not coming to this place no more.
you'll still like it. I'll eat pizza. I love pizza. But the craving is what I'm talking about. You crave what you need the most. You'll eat that first. You eat the salad.
The reason I ask you that is I'm a salesman. I do sales for a living. And I'm battling the word battle every single day. And sometimes it gets the best of me to where it's like these people just don't want cable. Or the bootleggers going crazy. He's hooking up everyone and getting $50 on the side. But if I speak positive and think positive, then everything will be great. And then everything isn't great. So where do you find the balance, you know? How much of it is opposition from the devil or opposition from man or your own doubts? Where does faith come in, you know?
Speak wisdom. Pray for wisdom and confess that you have the wisdom of God in every situation. And then you'll see the options that's already there. Sometimes the Lord...
Options that are already there.
That are already in place. Because the enemy's trying to hide your best options from you. And he's done me that way. And when I pray and ask the Lord, he'll show me something that was right there all the time. And he'll give you the wisdom to speak whatever need to be said, and you'll have more success. Don't leave the angels out. Now, they used to talk about, I remember Steve Green used to talk about ordering angels. I ain't ordering no angels. I don't know about that. But I used to, in business, you have in the middle of the month, I would have days where I didn't do nothing. And the Lord said, I said, Lord, what do I do about that? How can I pray about it? And this is what he said. He said, every morning before your feet hit the ground, command your angels to bring you cash. And I had to rethink it. My opinion had to go, and his opinion had to be alive in me. So I started doing it, and then you stop having those midweek dry spells or the mid-month. Middle of the month is bad for most businesses. So, in other words, it works. Don't leave the angels out. They're there to help you. And confess whatever you need to confess, and it works. And I'm gonna close with this. Lynn Lawson said something years ago. He needed some money and he prayed that morning. He went to the mailbox and his income tax check came, or somebody had sent him a check. And when he got it, it was the amount he needed that he was praying for. And then the Lord spoke this to him. He said, whenever you have a situation, always use your faith. He said, you can speak your faith today and I can honor it yesterday. The Lord knew that he would have faith, and he met him the moment he had it. And I never would have thought about a concert. He didn't either. The Lord revealed that to him. Believe God today, the Lord can honor your faith yesterday, because he's timeless, and time is under his control. So that take a lot of pressure off life. Your confessions avail much, because your faith avail much.
In Psalm 91, it says that the angels do the word of God. Mm-hmm. And as far as these confessions go, is it scripture that you're quoting, or is it your own words backed up by faith?
Jesus said he had 12,000 legions of angels. Isn't that right? 12 legions of angels. Mm-hmm. They were waiting on him. Remember, he's a man.
That's 72,000.
Yeah.
See.
See, the thing, there is scripture for it. That's one of them.
But what I'm saying is, like,
and he did that as a man, not as the Son of God.
All day for my confession, do I? Because I know maybe three scriptures, and that's about it. You know, John 3:16, and you
learn
know.
Them all. Another thing,
in the beginning, you know,
never doubt, never fear, because fear always, Satan is always attached to fear and doubt. If you're in fear or doubt, he's involved. Just tell him he can't interrupt your sales. You'll be surprised how good that works. But it's got to be by your faith. Now, Mary looking at me. I'm overboard. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your patience with us, how you help us to grow. Help us to see you. Help us to do all that's in your heart and learn all your word and destroy the works of darkness in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Let's just give him a big hand.
Amen.